Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm too busy to notice how busy I am.
I mean, it's great!
Yeah, that's good.
There's a touch of madness around here.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, the breathless pace of modern living is leaving too many families feeling overcommitted and underconnected. If your family is dangerously tired and seriously overstressed, you might be feeling as though there is no hope for things to get better. However, with a little bit of concentrated effort, you can repair the damaged parts of your family system and restore a sense of order and balance at home. Kathy Peel is known to thousands as America Online's family coach, and during the next half hour, she joins me here in studio for a conversation about an extreme makeover for desperate households. So keep it right here and learn how to make your family stronger.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you need to be in the know, you can subscribe to Azusa Pacific on Twitter and receive updates on the latest APU news and events. Go to twitter.com/AzusaPacific and you can get in the Twitter stream there and see what Dr. Jim Burns has to tweet about and also what's going to be tweeted about from the university. Today on the program, part one of a conversation that if you are finding yourself just throwing your hands up in the air and saying, help, I need a makeover, an extreme makeover, a desperate household. Today's the program for you. Now with part one, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. We have a very special guest today. Her name is Kathy Peel. We're talking about extreme makeover for desperate households. That's the title. Basically, it's how to restore order and harmony in your life and in your home. Wouldn't that not be nice? Kathy Peel is called America's Family Manager by the media and by actually millions of moms around the world. Each year, Kathy appears on hundreds of television and radio programs, including repeat appearances on Oprah, The Early Show, Good Morning America, The Today Show, and little drum roll, Homeward. So it's great to have Kathy Peel with us. She has written 18 books. They've sold over 2 million copies, including The Family Manager's Guide to Summer Survival, which we talked about once on the Homeward program before. She is married to Bill. They've been married for over 35 years. They have 3 adult sons, and they make their home in the Dallas area. Great to have you with us.
So good to be with you, Jim.
In person, here you are.
So fun.
Well, I just appreciate your positive attitude, your enthusiasm, and also any Kathy Peel book that I bring home, my wife just eats up. But actually, she's a pretty good person at dealing with these kind of things. I think she thinks that as a male, I should be reading some of your books. This new book is called Desperate Households. And with this particular book, it's really trying to teach moms especially, but moms and dads, that it is possible to restore order and harmony to life and home.
It is. You know, Jim, nobody stands at the altar and says, I do and I will create a chaotic, stressful home. But life happens.
Right.
And all of a sudden people wake up and they're out of control. And it could be in a number of areas. Sometimes when people think makeovers, which I do a lot of makeover stories in the media, it's not always about clutter. I mean, that's one way you get desperate if you can't walk through the family room without tripping, or you can't, you don't know if you have clean socks.
Yeah.
But you can also, we do makeovers on people who they're too orderly. And nobody has any fun. And we do makeovers of people or on families that can't get around the dinner table. Or maybe they're always running late. The timing scheduling issue. There are 10 different kinds of makeovers in this book.
Yeah. And actually, when you talk about that, how do you know when you are pretty much at the level of desperation? Or do you just know that?
Well, the end goal is for everyone in the home to walk through that door and say, oh, it is good to be home. That home is a place where you can be refreshed and you feel loved. The world is stressful enough. We do not need to walk into a place that gives us more stress. And there's so many simple things people can do to reduce the stress level in home and make it a better place to be for all.
Well, we have hundreds of thousands of listeners saying, great, let me know what it is. Because I would say that the average home, mom and dad, if that's going to be the average home, a lot of times mom and dad aren't in the same home, but they probably both work now. They come home. The kids need food. The kids need shuttling to Little League and dance recital and whatnot. There's a lot of chaos in the home. And
right.
So they're saying, hey, help me. And you're saying that it's actually possible to remove some of the chaos from home and actually live a little bit more of a proactive, intentional life with some harmony and order.
Right. And I'm not trying to tell people what their... Everyone has a different definition of what makes home a good place
sure.
to be.
Sure.
And a good place to start for anyone who feels desperate or who just is ready for their family to work more as a team and there's just maybe some strife going on, whatever. Have a family meeting sometime when there's not a big playoff game on or, you know, something that the kids need to do, maybe a Sunday night at 8:30, and get around the table and talk about what would make home a good place to be.
It's
and
a
let
great comment.
Everybody have a say. Because good family management is not about mom getting her way or dad getting his way. It's about working together. And if you want to build a family team, then everybody gets a say. And every family has to come up with their own definition of clean and organized.
Now, you said the word manage. That's it's kind of a business term. And you say that the key to having a well-run family is actually to run it in some ways more like a business. Successful businesses have management, and you have something called a family manager's creed.
Right.
And I love that creed. What does that creed kind of have to say?
It's the job description, and this is how valuable this job is. The Family Manager Creed goes like this. I oversee an organization where hundreds of decisions are made daily, where property and resources are managed, where health and nutritional needs are determined, where finances and futures are discussed and debated, where projects are planned and events are arranged, where transportation and scheduling are critical, where team building is a priority, where careers begin and end. I am a family manager. Now, if that doesn't sound like the most important job in the world, tell me what is.
It's a very important job. And really what you're saying, if you're going to do a makeover for a desperate household,
yeah.
you basically, your first step is get a family manager. Somebody in the family
needs to be the family manager.
Right.
In most homes, it is mom, but it could be dad. If it makes more sense for mom to go to the workplace, it could be a single dad. Mm-hmm. So somebody has to be the overseer, the COO, the operator of the home. And I don't want people to think that we're trying to turn their home into a cold corporate environment by using business strategies.
Sure,
but,
sure.
you know, team building, doing advanced work. These are just smart ways to run any organization.
Yeah. Well, what does an organized family home look like? And I realized you said something that was really helpful. Every home is different in
right.
that. But basically, kind of give me a handle on what one that's somewhat organized, looks like.
As we said, families need to come up with their own mm-hmm. definition of clean and organized. Typically in homes, messies end up living with neatniks, and you've got to use another good business strategy. You've got to communicate what your definition, how much clutter can you stand, and everybody has to talk, and then you negotiate your way to some middle ground that everybody can live with. I can't tell you what organized is for you, and you can't tell me that, but on the whole, you want to be able to find things. Everybody wants to have clean clothes. You want to know that dinner is going to happen, and hopefully everybody's going to gather around the table together. You want to be able to get places on time.
Yeah.
So these are things that most everybody
wants. These are some
wants.
Of the basic things.
Right.
And what you're saying is not only do you have to talk about it, but then somebody has to kind of help manage that process.
Right.
It's a great concept. One of the things that I really loved about your new book, Desperate Households, and what it says is that you encourage family managers to actually make their homes more fun and welcoming. At the same time, you have to do that without doing all kinds of scrubbing and cleaning and spending your whole time being, disciplined on it. But really, you want to have a home that's welcome. And a lot of homes kids are saying, I don't really feel that this is a place for fun.
Right.
You're saying in a household, there has to be some fun as well.
Exactly. And there's a chapter on this. We do makeovers on helping families lighten up and remember that your kids, when they leave home, they're not going to remember if the floor was so sterile you could eat off of it. But they are going to remember if home was a good place to be and if mom and dad were fun people to be with.
In many ways, the family manager has to set a tone.
Exactly.
And in setting a tone or an atmosphere, you can't always be, as a parent with kids, you can't be the fun mom and the
right.
fun dad at all times because you got to be the parent.
Exactly.
And that's a problem today. Too many times they want their kids to be happy, so
right.
they kind of let them run loose. At the same time, you quoted what it was Irma Bombeck who said, cleanliness is not next to godliness.
It's not. It's not.
You need to tell my grandma that because, I think in another generation, that's what they thought, wasn't it?
It was. And I like to tell people that, we... We usually lean towards one of two extremes. Either we're the kind of people who are God made naturally organized, and they're the kind of people who, you know, the kids walk in, can we go to the park, Mom? And you say, no, because there's a dish in the sink, or there's always something else to do. Right. And I want to just say to those moms, lighten up.
Yeah.
That's stressful to your family.
Yeah.
And then on the other extreme are those who kind of creative, flexible people who the kids come in and say, Mom, can we go to the park? And you say, yes, I don't want to do the dishes and the laundry anyway. And there are mountains, there are piles, and that causes stress to a family as well, because you can't find things, you're always running late. And the idea is for both to move towards, you know, more a lifestyle of balance, where home is, yes, you know, you don't want it to be unsanitary, but and you want it to be fun too. So there's a balance there, and there's a way to build a family team. I'm real big on this, Jim, building a team. Everybody who lives under the roof of that home needs to help.
Oh, and that's a great concept. We're going to talk more about that. I mean, we're going to take a break. Kathy Peel with us today. What a privilege to have her with us. We're talking about her new book is called Desperate Households. But what we're really talking about is how to restore and in many ways overcome life that is disorderly and needs some harmony in the life and in your home. Kathy Peel with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns.
Today on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in his conversation with Kathy Peel. She is AOL's family coach, and she's written a number of books that are very, very helpful for parents in terms of getting things in order at home. And our theme today is the extreme makeover for desperate households, because if you find yourself in a situation like Kathy and Jim have been describing, you know that sometimes it requires some pretty extreme measures, some rather drastic action to get things back on course. But if you're willing to do the hard work, there are some valuable principles awaiting you, and we'll hear part two of today's conversation coming up. A reminder that Dr. Jim Burns has written extensively on this as well. I think his book, Confident Parenting, is a perfect complement to today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, because oftentimes we as parents make poor decisions or ill-timed decisions simply because we lack the confidence to go forward and make the right decisions. If you'd like to learn how to be a more confident parent, you can order a copy of Jim's book, Confident Parenting, from our online resource center. More details await you at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, Mom, can you sign my report card?
Sure.
I made the honor roll.
Oh, so you did.
This is the best report card I've ever gotten.
Well, it's going to have to get a lot better if you want to go to the right college. The competition is fierce, and I'm afraid you're just not measuring up.
Ouch. You want your kids to succeed in life. Do everything you can to encourage your kids to meet God's standard first, not the world's. Now, God does value academic achievement. I mean, I believe he does. But not any more than he values character and responsibility or a grateful, gracious spirit in a child. It's natural for a kid to have a shaky self-image, and he or she will play the comparison game with the culture, and they'll lose every time. Our society isn't necessarily kind to this generation of young people, and if we aren't careful, parents will wind up reinforcing the same unrealistic expectations for brains and beauties that the world has. Well, I'm Jim Burns with Something to Think About from Homeward.com.
Now you can bring the principles found in Dr. Jim Burns' book, Confident Parenting, to your small group or Sunday school class. Learn more about the Confident Parenting curriculum that's available for pastors and churches when you visit the online resource center of Homeward. Anytime, day or night, you can click onto HOMEWORD.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Kathy Peel with us today. Extreme Makeover for Desperate Households is what we're calling this program. Desperate Households is her book, How to Restore Order and Harmony in Your Life and Home. Who doesn't want that? Kathy is the author of The Family Manager's Guide to Summer Survival, as well as lots of great books that she has written over the years. She's America Online's Family and Kids Coach. She's also the founder and CEO of Family Manager. And you probably have heard her or seen her on either radio or television. She's a great person, a great author, and has lots of good practical ideas. Now, Kathy, you encourage family managers to kind of follow three simple steps. One of the steps you mentioned, it says make a list of the things that are most important to you and kind of talk about it with your family. Another one is a great question that we have to ask ourselves, and it's if you had only a year to live, how would you spend your time and what would you change about the way you run your life and home? I want you to talk about that a minute. That is a life-changing type of a conversation.
It is. And it's something that we don't stop to think about enough, Jim. We get so caught up in the, oh, my home's got to be perfect, or we've got to sign the kids up for this and that. And in this day and age, we're always so connected to the outside world, whether it's through our cell phones, our PDAs, our computers, that we're not connecting as a family. And if you knew that you only had a year to live, I got to tell you, some of those things would go by the wayside because you would spend more time connecting with your family.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to think about.
You know, I had an experience this last week. I did a funeral, and it was of a wonderful man, a great God-honoring man. He was 80 years old. He'd lived a great life. It's one of those funerals that you can celebrate. You know, sometimes because of my background in youth ministry, I've done funerals with kids. It was, you know, it was hard.
Sure.
You know, we knew that they were in the arms of God and that there's eternity and all that stuff, but it was still hard because they were so young. With this man, it was great. But one of the things I thought about was this thing here. I said in the funeral, and people remarked about it later, was that what did we learn from this man? Well, one is hug your spouse a little bit longer. Tell your kids you love them. You know, it's some of the basics that we all would agree with, but we get so busy that it just doesn't work. Now, I think one of the problems in America is that we're dangerously tired. I like to say we're overcommitted, we're underconnected. And you're saying the same thing
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And there needs to be some time every night when you're together as a family that you just say, okay, even if it's just for 20 or 30 minutes, which will put some people into withdrawal, but you need to turn off all of your electronic equipment
right.
and connect, because until you disconnect with the world, you can't connect as a family. Something we did, my husband Bill and I did when our children were little, reaped great rewards for us. We set aside some Monday morning dates. Now that sounds crazy, but parents of small children will understand that sometimes you have to meet for breakfast to just, you know, have an uninterrupted conversation.
Right.
Bill and I projected 15 to 20 years down the road. When our kids left home, what values did we want them to take away with them, and what memories did we want them to take away, and how would we at least try to do that? Because, you know, if you aim at nothing, it's very likely that you'll hit it.
You'll get there.
One of the things we decided early on was that family vacations would be important to us. Mm-hmm. Knowing those kinds of things helps you make decisions throughout your parenting pilgrimage, because when it comes time to say, okay, are we going to do some new furniture in the den, or are we going to take a family vacation? Well, the choice is already made because you're going to put your investments there on spending time together. And it doesn't matter how old your kids are. It's never too late to sit down and say, okay, here's where we are today as a family. What is our family about?
Sure.
And what are the maybe six values we want to just keep working on with our kids? Certainly honesty would be one, respect for authority. And how can we model those ourselves? And how can we inculcate those into our kids' lives?
And so many times, Kathy, it seems like we kind of do the same thing over and over again. It's kind of the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over again, thinking something else is going to happen.
Right.
And you do the same thing. And as you're talking about this priority makeover, it really is about priorities.
It is.
And it takes some courageous decision-making to change our priorities, I think, a lot of times. But what you say also is that you've got to encourage family managers to take a rather risky step in completing this process. How does risk involve a priority?
Anytime you want to change something, that involves a little risk. And so if you want to present a new idea to your spouse or to your family and say, you know what, I want to make our home less stressful. I don't want to be a nag anymore. I want us to work together more as a team. Whatever your desire is. A lot of women are afraid their families might laugh at them or not take them seriously, but please just trust me on this. If you go with a heart and your family knows that you are sincere, if you go to your husband and say, honey, I want to be a good wife. I want to spend more time with you. I don't want to be a nag, but, you know, I'm overwhelmed. And if you gather the kids around and say, I love you, you know, I want our home to be a place where you love bringing your friends, where you like to be. What is your definition of a great home? And a mom or a dad who listens to what those kids have to say, that is powerful.
No, you know, you're in many ways, Kathy, what I hear you saying is you're talking about intentional parenting, intentional marriages, intentional home makeovers, if you would, the intentionality of it all. And so many times it seems like we parent or we do our family or marriage or whatever else by kind of circumstance and chance. We just kind of let it happen, and so chaos kind of reigns.
Right.
What you're talking about is being proactive with these priorities. And I know that you encourage families to have kind of a family mission statement.
Yes.
And so in many ways, we've kind of talked all around this, but a good way in some ways to end part of our conversation today, help us understand for the person who's kind of in that desperate household and they want some order and harmony, how does developing a mission statement help them make right and wise decisions that are going to help the family?
it helps so much to envision what you want your home to be like, what you want relationships to be like. George MacDonald wrote in the 1800s, a Scottish author, he said that the highest calling of every husband and wife is to help each other do the will of God. That, to me, is a great family mission statement. That's what a family is about, helping each other do the will of God. Then you want to go even past that and say, okay, we want our home to be fun. We want it to be clean enough to be sanitary, but we want maybe some zones where clutter is okay. Everybody's got to decide that, but it's just important that you talk about it. Families.
So
are,
this mission statement, how long is it? Is it? Do you do it in one sentence? Do you do it in a paragraph? 2 pages?
The shorter, the better.
Yeah.
Business books will tell you that a good mission statement is 12 words or less. Now, you don't have to be legalistic about that. Maybe yours has 25 words, but keep it short and just work on it as a family over a good snack. It's a really good family activity.
No, it really is. You know, at our family, we have a family mission statement. We have a family constitution, which are kind of some of the principles that we live by, and it's things on being generous and putting God first and these various things. It's on our refrigerator. And, you know, we don't always live by those, but it is something that probably every one of my kids can at least look at and say, this is what we're at least aiming for.
Exactly.
What I hear you saying is go light on ourselves. We're not going to get it perfect, but develop something so we have, like you say, if you aim at nothing, you'll get there every time, unfortunately.
Right.
So aim at something. Make it happen. I've got to ask you to come back next time because we're running out of time. So can you do that?
I would love to do
that. Great. Kathy Peel with us. Great input today. Very practical. Something that we can take home and start right now. Don't try everything, but at least do one or two of these things, and it'll just help. Today, we've been talking about extreme makeover for desperate households, how to restore order and harmony in your life and in your home.
And that's something that we as parents, Jim, I know sometimes we'll say, gosh, there's just something not right here. What is it? And you think about the harmony that we're looking for. Sometimes that harmony is dissonant, but it needs to be somewhat harmonic, if you'll allow the musical metaphor. And that's why we're so grateful for Kathy Peel and the expertise that she has spoken into today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast as we talk about extreme makeover for desperate households. Jim, I know this is something that you and Kathy have really worked hard to develop with your three daughters as well. And you've actually put together what you call a family constitution of sorts that is a guideline for you and Kathy as you've raised your girls who are now young adults. But take just a moment here at the close of our program and talk about what this involves.
Sure, Roger. You know, it's something that Kathy and I put together with our girls, and it was with them when they were quite young. We created it to be kind of a declaration of what our family was all about.
Yeah.
In many ways, a constitution. You have a constitution of the United States. You have a constitution for your family. A lot of people don't do this intentionally, and then they sort of don't get there. You know, they don't aim at anything, and that's what happens.
Sure.
I want to be clear that it was not a document that Kathy and I put together with a bunch of rules for our kids. We'd like to have done that, but really, this was something quite different. It's really more of guidelines for how we're going to live our family, what we want it to happen. I'll tell you the story. We were in Lake Tahoe, California, beautiful place. We were camping. That's another story with, you know, three daughters and a wife and then me.
And no Starbucks anywhere close.
Yeah. No, well, we actually ended up being pretty close to a Starbucks. We started out way in the just Thule's someplace. Yeah. I guess you don't have Thule's in Lake Tahoe, but way out there. And then we ended up being closer and closer. So we ended up being pretty close to the road. And I think there was a Starbucks about a half a mile away.
Good call.
But
that.
That's a... Well, I really didn't want to do that, but that was the daughter-wife story as well, and I am supportive. Anyway, what happened was we were sitting around a campfire, and I said, anybody know what a constitution is? And of course, they knew the U.S. Constitution. They were still quite young, but they still had figured that out. And so I said, actually, that's how we guide our country. That's the guidelines for our country. What about for our family? What should be some of those words? And we brainstormed words, and it was following God, having moral behavior, being generous with our time and being generous with our money. And we made a whole list. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace sort of showed up. So we just put fruit of the Spirit. And we actually wrote it on a piece of paper, and it is today, still, even though our kids are older, it is on our refrigerator.
Wow.
And the family constitution was something that we would go back to somewhat often, frankly, to kind of see if we were doing it right. The girls might get an argument. I'd say, you know, the family constitution says we're supposed to be generous, so, you know, let her use that sparkly pink belt. It's probably not that big a deal.
Yeah, right.
And there were times they turned that on me as well. But what I found out, from us anyway, was that once we completed the writing of the family constitution, we actually had the kids kind of sign it, and we had a direction to go.
Right.
What I'm suggesting today is that every family actually have a code of sorts that guides the actions of each family. And I want to suggest that's a very, especially with today's program, that's a very practical way of doing it. And if you'll develop a family constitution, you can really, I think, help your family get on the same page. And we have some information on our website that can help our listeners find out more about how to do a family constitution. In fact, our family's constitution is on there. It's not all that impressive, but it's what we live our life
by. It's a
good
guideline.
Well, I hope you'll take a look at that. Again, it's called the Burns Family Constitution. It'll give you maybe some insight in terms of how you can do that as well. Well, that's it for today. Be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my conversation with Kathy Peel on the topic of an extreme makeover for desperate households. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Appreciate you listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.